Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church and on Facebook at facebook.com/abundantassembly. And now, on to this week's message.
Well, I wanted to just start off with a little bit of a story. One day, a woman returned home from a flea market with this decorative plaque that said, "Prayer changes things." And she decided it needed a prominent place in the family's home, so she put it above the mantle on the fireplace, and it was there for a little while. But one day when she came home from shopping, she noticed that it was no longer there, and the only person that had been home was her husband. And so she went over to him, and she sternly asked, "Don't you believe in prayer?" And he replied, "Of course I believe in prayer. It's the change I can't stand." See, he understood that prayer changes things. And as we seek to be filled by the Holy Spirit of God to advance into our community with the good news of what Jesus has done for us, let me tell you that prayer is an important aspect of that. Since we're talking about prayer, why don't we join together and we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to look in your word today and to continue to learn about the Acts of the Apostles and what they did as they were filled with your Spirit and moved forward in the mission that you gave to them, Lord. Lord, I ask that you will stir something within us and that you will push us forward, Lord, that we will not be afraid of the things that you bring up in our hearts, but that you will just renew us and strengthen us, Lord. Revive us in this church, I pray, and in this community. Lord, take these words that I'm about to speak, and I pray that you'll make them something worthwhile through the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Wasn't it interesting that prayer is so powerful? And it's so mysterious, and it's such a prominent part of the Bible. In fact, in here, we're even commanded to pray, and yet it's often the very first thing that we drop out of our busy lives. It's often the very first thing that we stop doing when we think, you know what, I just don't have time today to do many things. And for some people, what it takes to get them praying again is they're driven to pray when they become overwhelmed or when they become worried. They start to freak out and they're like, you know what, things are so bad, I gotta pray now. And that's the only time that they pray. But then there's people on the other side of things, and those same moments, those moments of being distraught or freaked out or like there's no hope in the world, those are the very moments where they're driven to self-sufficiency instead of prayer. They think, wow, you know, I got to get the ball rolling on this. I don't have time to sit around and pray because, you know, I got to get on this. I got to fix this. If I don't fix it, who's going to fix it? But as we've been talking about our need for more than ourselves the past couple weeks, I hope that you understand that prayer is always an important part of our lives, that we need to pray because we need more than just our own strength, our own ability. See, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, of the three persons who exist eternally as the one God of the universe, that Holy Spirit lives within all who follow Jesus as Master and Savior of their lives. And all Christians can seek to be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit for the sake of the good news of Jesus Christ. I know that most of you here today have actually heard me tell you what the good news of Jesus is, and you look around and you're like, I know all these people, so he's not really going to explain this to us again, is he? But I am, because I think that one of the most important things that we as believers can hear week after week after week is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even if it's for our encouragement so that we can be built up in remembering what Jesus did for us. And even more so than that, as we reach into our community and try to reach the unchurched, we need to be familiar with what it is that we believe. And I think that too many of us, when we're asked what we believe, what is Christianity about? We're like, a Jesus and a cross, I think, some sins. So the good news is this. Humanity was created to exist in relationship with God, but instead of existing in that perfect relationship, we rebelled, and the relationship was severed. Without that connection to our Creator, our souls were dead and condemned to hell. Yet because of God's perfect love for us, he sent his Son, who's the second person of that Trinity that we talked about before, his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty that sin requires, which is death. And now God offers forgiveness and the restoration of that life-giving relationship with him to all who believe in what Jesus did to the depths of their heart and who commit to follow his commands and his example. And every person who has received this forgiveness, this salvation, has been tasked with sharing the good news of Jesus with the world so that all in the world may find life too. So the Holy Spirit was given to Christians to give us what we need to succeed in this mission. Can you imagine what would have happened if we gave our lives to Jesus and Jesus was like, okay, I need you to go out there now and share the good news, but by the way, you're on your own. Can you imagine the panic, the overwhelming feeling of thinking, I'm on my own, but God told me I have to do this thing. But we're not on our own, see? We have the Spirit within us, and the great thing is that Spirit-filled people are Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to advance the good news. And prayer is a big part of being filled with the Spirit. In fact, it's an essential part of the Christian life and the Christian witness. And today, as we continue to look at the book of Acts, we're going to see the kind of prayer that God wants from us as we seek a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit every day. And as we look for God to go with us in our daily mission to reach the unchurched and disciple believers to be like Jesus. Our text today can be found in Acts 4, 23 to 31. You can follow along with your Bible, with a Bible that is underneath one of the seats in front of you or on the screen behind me. I am reading out of the New Living Translation today. So that's Acts 4, 23 to 31. Now, let me explain what happened up to this point in time. The apostles, specifically Peter and John, they were going into the temple because that is where the early Christians met to pray and to worship God. And as they were going into the temple, there was this crippled man, this man that could not walk and had not been able to walk, I believe it says from birth or for a very long time. And he began to ask them for money, but they said, listen, we don't have any money, but what we do have, we give you. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the man got up and walked. But all of a sudden, there's this great commotion as people are looking around going, that guy, he's walking. And people began to ask questions, and this commotion happened, and Peter and John began to speak the name of Jesus Christ and speak the gospel truth of Jesus. And so the leaders of the temple, they came in, and they arrested Peter and John. And because it was the end of the day, they kept them overnight. And then in the morning, they brought them before the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the temple group. And the Sadducees were there, a party of the religious elite at that time. And through a turn of events, they basically told them, listen, don't preach the name of this Jesus guy anymore. Don't do anything in his name. Don't mention his name. Just be quiet or else bad things are going to happen to you. And Peter and John, they said, listen, who is it better to obey, you guys or God? Who are we going to obey, you guys or the God that sent us with a mission into the world? We got to preach. And so they were sternly warned, and then they went back. And this is where we pick up. We see here in verse 23, as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, Creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas and Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles, and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your Holy Spirit, your Holy Servant, Jesus. And after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness. There's something I need to highlight here. All of the people in this room had already been baptized with the Holy Spirit. They'd already been filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And yet we read here that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So they'd already received power and boldness for ministry. But we also see that once isn't enough. Once isn't the end all be all. They knew that they needed more boldness in the face of opposition, and so they prayed. Likewise, we must continue to pray for God to empower us and to use us and to help us. See, we can continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit over and over and over again. It's not a one-time deal. It's not like you cross the threshold and that's it. There's nothing more. And we can receive boldness, and we can receive more than boldness over and over and over again. See, Spirit-filled people are Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to advance. And Spirit-filled people are people who must learn to pray. And it's my hope today that we will all become better prayers. Listen, I've never considered myself to be very good at praying. I don't consider myself to be the greatest prayer. I tend to pray in segments of about 5 minutes before my mind is on something completely different. That's me. You know, I try to focus on things, and I'm off over here, and I'm off over here, and it takes a lot for me to be able to bring my mind back into focus on what I am praying about. And so I want to learn some of these things with you. I want to learn what it is to pray effectively with you. So let's look at three lessons from this passage that we can learn about prayer together. The first one is that God wants us to pray earnestly. What that means is prayer isn't something that we do because we have to. Instead, we must develop an understanding that prayer is how we speak to our Heavenly Father. It is our line of communication to the Creator, to our Heavenly Father, that it's powerful. That it builds us up, that it grows us spiritually, and that even in those moments where it seems useless, where we seem like we're on our own and we can't sense God's presence, even in those moments, God is still using our prayers in amazing and even unexpected ways. See, it's important that we understand how important prayer is. We must understand how important prayer is. See, it's not something that we just do every once in a while. It's not just something that sits on the back burner for those times that we really feel like we need to pray. No, prayer is our lifeline. In today's Bible passage, Peter and John shared their experience with the other disciples. And you know, the thing that I found interesting is that their response to all the things that had just happened was not to go on Facebook and bellyache about how bad things were. They didn't start freaking out and complaining at the horrors of it all and how far down society was going and how dare these people tell them not to preach the good news of Jesus. That's not what their reaction was. Their first reaction was to lift their voices to talk to God. But I think that our tendency is to focus on how hopeless the situation is and either complain or we start to get to work to fix it ourselves. But the thing is that it's not what we see the apostles do really ever in the Bible. See, when there's troubles, we see that they lifted them to heaven, that they lifted them to God. When you're faced with opposition, fear, or difficulty, you need to bring it before God. Okay, when there's bad things happening in your life and you're tempted to say, "Oh Lord, this is so horrible, we need to tell everybody about how bad it is." Maybe our first reaction should be to bring it to God. Bring it before God. And as you bring it before God, do us all a favor and don't do these half-hearted prayers either. You know what I'm talking about? Where you're like, "Well, Lord, you know, just make it all better. Just make it all better, Lord." And then go off and complain, right? That's what a lot of us do. I prayed about it and God didn't do anything in the 30 seconds that I was sitting there bringing it before him. And so I just figured, no, he's leaving it to me now and it's my turn to do all this stuff about it. But oftentimes we've got this lack lackadaisical kind of, I hope I use that right, I don't even know what that word means, but this lackadaisical kind of approach to prayer where we just think that, yeah, you know, I'll pray when I feel like it, I'll pray if I need to, I'll throw something up there, but really it's just lip service, isn't it? Do we really believe that something's going to happen? No, see, what I see here is that we need to pray with everything we've got. Prayer is not just this simple, well, God, you know, if you really want to, I guess you can. It's you pouring your heart out. I mean, Jesus prayed so hard before his crucifixion that he was sweating drops of blood. So much physical exertion, so much stress on him. Now, the amazing thing about that is even after he prayed so earnestly and so hard and so meaningfully, he still was able to step back and say, but not my will, Lord God, but your will be done. But he prayed with everything that he had. So cry out to God. If you're not sure what to pray, then use the Psalms to guide your prayers, and not just the Psalms that make you feel happy inside. You know, the Psalms are a guidebook that show us how we can speak to God. And the thing that amazes me is it seems like the majority of these things aren't David or the other psalmist saying, Lord, you're such a wonderful God and everything is so awesome. It's usually, God, life sucks. What's your problem? So whatever you do, whether you're praising him with the Psalms, whether you're asking him what on earth is going on with the Psalms, whether you're praying just from the depths of your soul, do it with your all. So for Spirit-filled people to be led and empowered to advance, they must pray. They must pray earnestly. But there's an important element to prayer that we tend to miss. See, I think especially here in the Western church, and I know it's a problem down in Latin America as well, is that we tend to approach God as if he was a kind of Santa Claus. You know what I'm talking about? God, I want this, and I want that, and I want this. Thank you. Case closed. But what we miss is when we're doing that, when we're saying, God, just give us all these things, we puff ourselves up and we think that we're better than everyone else and we begin to judge others and we put ourselves over everyone else. Sometimes we even put it above God himself. Things obviously aren't going the way that we think they should go. God obviously isn't in the plan we have. And we're like, God, what's going on? I'm doing this great thing. Bless it. Come on, God. Get on board with my plan here. Yet in the disciples' prayer and in the prayer that Jesus gave us where he said, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We see that we must be sure to pray humbly. The disciples didn't launch into a prayer that was asking for help immediately. That wasn't their first thing. The first thing they did was praise God. They reminded themselves, this is who God is. This is the great God that we serve. When we come to pray, the first thing that we should do is acknowledge the greatness and the power of God. Thank him for all that he's done, for creating the world, for creating you. You can even thank him for the bad things that happen. Thank you, Lord, that there are good things that you're going to bring about because of this, because you're so much greater than these bad things. Praise him for who he is. See, when you do this first, when you lift God up in prayer first, you're setting him above all else that matters to you. And you set a more humble tone for your prayers. Another thing that we need to do in order to pray humbly is we need to avoid asking for harm to come to our enemies. And instead, we need to ask for boldness to keep on doing what's right. Jesus said, love your enemies. Yet how often do we say, you know, Jesus, if you just want to let that guy get hit by a car so that he's not here tomorrow, I'm good with that. Is that loving your enemies? Loving them to death, maybe. Praise God. I lost my place when I said that. I'm very sorry. Yeah. As the disciples prayed, they understood that there will always be people that oppose God. Always people that oppose those who follow Jesus, but they also understood that at the very end of everything, when Jesus returns to rule the world, that all things will work out according to God's plan, just as he intends. So rather than praying for the downfall of their enemies, who they knew would not succeed at the very end of things, they instead prayed that they would have the boldness and the help from God to continue to advance the gospel, that good news of Jesus, throughout the whole world. They didn't say, God, we stand in opposition to the powers that be and are in our way. Lord God, just knock them down here. No, that's not what they said at all. They didn't do that at all. Instead, they just said, God, in the face of this opposition, give us boldness to continue doing what we're supposed to do. Can you imagine if we began to pray that way? They showed their humility in one more way as well that day. They saw their limitations. They saw their great need for God to be present in what they were doing and in their lives. And so what we see here today is when you're praying, be sure to recognize your inability to truly succeed on your own and your absolute need for the power of God's Holy Spirit. We see here, and it blows my mind when I look at what they prayed, because they didn't pray our typical thing where, like, God, fill me up with so much power that people are just going to be in awe of the way that you use this, your empty holy vessel, blah, 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 blah. They're like, God, as we advance, give us boldness to preach the gospel as you told us to. And God, may you do signs and wonders. May you do, God. And through that, may you be glorified. It's not about me. That's the thing that I see them doing. It's not about us feeling good. It's not about us getting all this power and strength for ourselves, but it's about seeing God work mightily in the situations that we're in. It's amazing what can happen when a follower of Jesus begins to pray earnestly and humbly. But let me tell you, it's so important for us to pray with the right motivation. You see, God wants us to pray selflessly. As they prayed, the disciples, like I said, they weren't looking to make a name for themselves. Just wanted to do their best for Jesus. When you're seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit, when you're praying, whatever you're asking for, you must pray selflessly. It means that your motivation isn't about gaining self-notoriety or fame. And it's not about you feeling powerful. It's not about you feeling important. Rather, it's all. Let me say that word again. It is all about the glory of God and advancing the gospel of Jesus into our community and into our world. All of it. Praise God. Guys, I think there was another slide there. For those of you that are taking notes, there's the blank. All right. There's a story about a voyaging ship that was wrecked during a storm at sea. And when it was wrecked, there were only two men on that ship that were able to swim to a small desert island. And these two survivors, not knowing what else to do, they agreed that they had no other recourse but to pray. We just got to pray about this thing. But being human and all of that, they decided that they'd have a little competition going, and they wanted to find out whose prayer was more powerful. So they divided the island between the two of them, and man number one stayed on his side of the island, and man number two stayed on his side of the island, and then they prayed. Now, the first thing that was prayed for was food. And the next morning, the first man saw this fruit-bearing tree on his side of the island, and he was able to eat its fruit. But the other man's parcel of land remained barren. After a week, the first man was lonely, and he decided to pray for a wife. And lo and behold, the next day, another ship was wrecked, and the only survivor was a woman who swam to his side of land. On the other side of the island, there was nothing. Soon the first man prayed for a house and clothes and more food, and the next day, like magic, all of those were given to him. But the second man still had nothing. Finally, the first man prayed for a ship so that he and his wife could leave the island, and in the morning he found a ship docked at his side of the island. And so the first man, he boarded the ship with his wife, and he decided that he was going to leave that second man on the island. He doesn't deserve to be here. It's my prayers that did this. I'm the good. God didn't answer a single one of that guy's prayers. He doesn't deserve the blessings of God. He's a nobody. So as the ship was about to leave, the first man heard this voice from heaven booming, "Why are you leaving your companion on the island?" Well, my blessings are mine alone, since I was the one that prayed for them. The first man answered, obviously, I'm more spiritually than he is, because his prayers were all answered with a no, but mine were all answered with a yes. So obviously, he doesn't deserve anything of mine. You're mistaken, the voice rebuked him. He had only one prayer, which I answered with a yes. If not for that prayer, you would not have received a single thing. Tell me, the first man asked, what did he pray for that I should owe him anything? The voice responded, he prayed that all of your prayers would be answered. See, sometimes the humblest and the most selfless of people are those whose prayers are honored most by God, because they don't pray selfishly. They don't pray for themselves. They pray for the good of others and for the glory of God. Do you want to see the place where you live changed for Jesus? Do you want to see people giving their lives to him? Do you want to see broken people finding life and finding relationship? Love. Because if you do, then prayer has to be a part of the plan. Prayer is an important part of what we do as believers in Jesus. See, prayer changes things. Just like that plaque over the fireplace mantle. It changes things. So pray for boldness and for wisdom to share the gospel, and pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because Spirit-filled people are Spirit-led and Spirit-empowered to advance. And as you do that, here's two things that I want you to be doing this week. First of all, I want you to begin to weave prayer into your day. Now, what I mean by that is that prayer isn't a once a week or once a month venture. So maybe it's that you spend some time alone and you know, finish reading your Bible in the morning, and then you pray. It's a good start. But maybe it's in the moment, you know, somebody cuts you off in traffic, and instead of flipping them the bird, you say, God, help that person and help me and my anger right now for that person. Something bad happens, and Lord, just give me the courage to face this today. Just little prayers throughout the day in the moment. When you see somebody that looks like they're hurting on the side of the road, pray for them and then help them. Pray with your family around the dinner table at night or before they go to bed. Find a prayer partner whom you can pray alongside with. The point is that prayer should be a regular occurrence. It should be happening all the time. We're told to pray without ceasing, and that's a different sermon. But this is part of it, just finding ways to really be active in prayer. Another thing that you could do, I'd encourage you to attend our pre-service prayer from about 10 till 10:20 every Sunday morning downstairs. Or Thursday noon prayer, you can also come out to that from 12 until 12:30 on Thursdays. We meet here and we pray as well. Then here's the second thing that I want you to be doing this week. Pray for an awakening of people's hearts. An awakening of their hearts, and pray earnestly and humbly and selflessly and often for that. Pray that their hearts will awaken to the good news of Jesus. Pray that they will awaken to the fact that they are in need of a God who loves them, that they are in need of a Savior, that they're in need of forgiveness. That forgiveness that only comes through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross for you and for me. So just pray. Lord God, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for each person that's here today, and I thank you for the exciting things that have happened throughout our week. I thank you that our youth have the opportunity to go to YC every year. I thank you that we have chairs that will allow us to use this space so much more effectively, Lord God. I thank you for all those people who came into town yesterday, those 300 people for that soccer tournament, God, and I just thank you for the way that each of their lives were impacted by other people that were at these tournaments, Lord God, and I pray that that was positive. Lord, help us to be a people that prays, a people that brings things to you in prayer, a people that don't push prayer to the end of the list, Lord, but that prayer will be throughout the list. Lord, that we will be a praying people, that we will be a prayerful people, and that we will be a Spirit-filled people, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Abundant Springs Podcast. Tune in next week for more Bible-based encouragement.